Welcome to the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am Allison Kaczkowski, your host. Thank you so much for tuning in to check out exactly what we're talking about. Self-care means so many things to people. It's one of the reasons I decided to start this show. And you'll hear self-care discussed from a number of different angles in this space. I am grateful to have you with me, and I hope you get a lot out of what I'm going to share with you today. Hey, everybody, it's Allison Kaczkowski. Thank you for joining me again today for another edition of the Ultimate Journey of Self-Care on this Tuesday morning. As always, I'm your host, and I am both excited and grateful that you choose to spend some of your Tuesday morning with me. Today, I'm talking to Faith Echo, who is a licensed clinical social worker, but she's also a recovery coach. And what we're going to talk about today is, being that it's 2024, it's the start of a new year, we are going to be talking about what the relationship with yourself looks like from the perspective of, you know, who do you allow into your life and why? A lot of how we look after ourselves comes from the energy that we get from the people that we choose to keep around us. And so that's where we're going to be going today. So I'm thrilled that you were able to join me today, Faith.
Thank you so much for having me here and for giving me the platform to sort of share my story. I really feel it could help a lot of people.
I do too. I completely agree. So why don't you introduce yourself briefly to my audience? I know I mentioned that you have lots of years of experience as a social worker, but what's really intriguing is that you're calling yourself a recovery coach now.
Absolutely. I feel like through all my research, but especially the 4 years of experience I personally had in a very toxic, abusive relationship, I feel like I'm very, very able and qualified to help people, women in particular, because that's obviously what I can relate to. But there's anybody that I can help get out of toxic relationships, particularly with narcissists, then that has become my mission in life.
I love that. Okay. Well, why don't we start there? First of all, from a lot of what I've read and seen online, and since you're the expert in this area, I think people use the word narcissist a lot, almost like it's a commodity. And, you know, I know it's a very real thing, but I'm wondering if you could just kind of tell us what that means.
It drives me nuts when I hear the word narcissist just thrown out so casually. I don't think people truly, truly understand how dangerous this illness is. Uh-huh. It's described as individuals who feel they're superior to everybody. They have zero empathy. They're extremely manipulating and calculating, and they just constantly require praise and adoration. But it just goes far, far more deeper and insidious than the actual definition.
So how does that show up then in terms of, you know, how somebody lives?
Well, there's four stages of narcissistic abuse, and the first one is love bombing. So my ex just wooed me and over the top gifts and restaurants and flowers. And I was his person and he wanted to live happily ever after with me. And then at some point it starts going to, degrading, like dehumanizing. So for example, if I had an opinion that was not the same as his, or I wanted to like go out with my friends or whatever, it would just turn into horribleness that I would not wish on my worst enemy, like the name calling and the making me feel worthless and just so much mental, emotional, psychological abuse. And then the next stage is the discard phase where they just break up with you, like from one day to the next for no reason, like you no longer serve their purposes. Most times out of not, there's what's called a new supply. So another partner waiting in the wings because they need that fresh supply of adoration and all of that. And then the last stage is the hoovering phase, which is where they come back to you and will promise that they've seen the light of day and that they've changed and they can't live without you. And then the whole cycle begins all over again.
Yeah. And I honestly think this is something that, unfortunately, I think is pretty common. And it doesn't have to be a romantic partner. It can be a friend. It can be even a family member, a coworker, a neighbor. It can be, you know, it can really exist in a lot of different ways. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And from what I've found is that narcissistic parents, unfortunately, their children tend to turn out to be narcissistic too.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. I think it just, you know, what that says to me is that, you know, kids obviously learn from watching other people do things, right? It's kind of like the do as I say, not as I do, but that's what people do. They watch what you do. They might say something, but they watch what you do more than anything.
Exactly. And because narcissists aren't able to have empathy or put anybody's needs before their own, they can't be there for their children. So their children also grow up feeling worthless. And so they overcompensate as adults and just expect everybody to give them what they did not have in childhood.
Yeah. And they seek out, it's finding that emotional need that they don't have. It comes from a really deep seated place of being, of feeling inadequate. So they just project onto other people.
Exactly.
Everybody listening probably knows at least one person that is like that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. And they tend to seek out empaths because, you know, empaths were very loving, caring people. And oftentimes we try to fix people that we feel need saving and can't save themselves.
Yeah, agree. Totally. So let's shift the narrative here a little bit and what I really like to focus on, and since this is, you know, a lot of your background is, you know, the relationship with ourselves and why it's so important that we surround ourselves with people who are emotionally good for us. And unfortunately, I feel like, you know, sometimes when we meet a new friend or when we're dating somebody new or whatever, you know, whatever the situation is, it's hard to know right away if somebody has narcissistic tendencies. So, you know, I guess my question is, when we're talking about the relationship with ourselves, what is your perspective on that?
The relationship we have with ourselves is the most important relationship we will ever have with anybody in our lives. Mm-hmm. And I think what we tell ourselves dictates the experiences in our life, you know, and what I've learned through my own experience is totally finding my self-worth and mm-hmm. seeing that I don't need anybody to complete me. That it's our birth given right to be loved unconditionally and live peaceful, happy lives. And it's extremely detrimental to surround yourself by bucket dippers, you know, those people that just are not good for you, are toxic, like can just mess up your own mind. And it's just very important. I think a lot of the times we have gut feelings about people. But we dismiss it. You know what I mean? And then like the saying goes, we teach people how to treat us. You know what I mean? When they show us who they are the first time, we should believe them.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. I've actually like known several people just in the last 4 or 5 years where, you know, it's almost like, and I'm sure you can relate to this, when you've known people a long time, I think there's a tendency to, oh, well, that's just how he is or she is. Or it's better to forgive and forget, you know, and I think you get to a point and you're like, yeah, that's a no for me. I'm just not available for that.
Exactly. I think like you said, we get accustomed and make excuses but deep down, I think we realize when we're not being treated well or with respect and we get to that point where we think, nope, this doesn't feel well and we need to respect ourselves. And Like Janis Joplin said, don't compromise yourself. We've all we've got. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think that, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, you know, it's just like you said so perfectly. It's we are literally teaching other people what's okay to do to us by what we allow. And we also teach other people. It's like we get what we allow to some degree. And I'm not saying that anybody listening deserves a narcissistic relationship. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is after a certain point, I think you do have to look yourself in the mirror and say, the rubber's going to meet the road here and I'm going to do something about this.
Exactly. And we need to maintain strong boundaries in life. And like that should be a non-negotiable. And as soon as somebody starts pushing those boundaries or just completely bulldozes over them, like think that's when we know it's time to move on.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering if you could speak to that for a minute, since we're kind of talking about, you know, I don't want to call it characteristics. That seems kind of commonplace, but you know, I'm trying to approach this from the standpoint of, you know, how can we offer for people listening, like some helpful pieces of advice or ways to think about it or tips, if you want to call it that, on,
you know, how we create those strong boundaries, because strong boundaries are what allows us to have a very strong relationship with who we are.
Exactly. Exactly. I think we need to, again, follow our intuition. If something doesn't feel right, if we notice that somebody just doesn't take our needs into consideration or is constantly like testing us, and it's very important to like know that we're worthy and to kind of find that self-love. And if we're not able to, then maybe talking to a professional or hanging around people that genuinely love us and make us feel good.
Yeah. Well, I fundamentally believe, and a lot of this was due to my upbringing too, is that, you know, worthiness is not earned. But unfortunately, I believe a lot of people don't believe that.
I agree. And I think it's maybe it has to do with our childhood too. Like if we felt abandoned during childhood or just our parents weren't there or whatever, I think that really affects us as well.
Yeah. And I just think that the more that we can embrace, you know, having that strong relationship with ourselves, you know, the more we understand that the day we were born, we were considered worthy.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And somewhere along the line, because of the messages we're told, the messages we receive, that somewhere along the line, we lose that and we forget that.
Yeah. So what are some tips or pieces of advice or thoughts that you can offer around having a good relationship with yourself? And let's talk about it from the standpoint of, you know, how do you develop a strong, emotionally strong, strengthening relationships with other people? So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, the AllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this.
I think it's important to practice self-care and self-compassion. I mean, a lot of the time, especially women, because they've got jobs and the kids and all of this, they sort of push self-care to the side.
Yeah, I cannot agree more.
Right? Like nurturing ourselves with yoga or anything else and without feeling guilty. I think a lot of us sometimes try to indulge in things that make us feel good, but in the back of our brains, like we feel guilty, like we should be doing something else.
Yeah. Well, and I also feel like it comes from a space of being that Band-Aid. You know, it's like when people are chronic shoppers or chronic spenders or gamblers or drinkers or eaters or whatever it is. They're doing that because they're trying to fill a void. It's a feeling of not feeling like they're enough.
Exactly. Like you said, workaholics sometimes and like you said, addicts, I think. Yeah. It's definitely trying to fill some sort of void.
Yeah. Yeah. So what other, you know, helpful strategies can you offer around strength, you know, having good, strong, positive relationships in your life?
Without trust, I think there's nothing. So if you start to find that people just aren't being honest with you, or they say one thing and then do something else, and they're not for you, and they keep letting you down. And if you walk away from a situation, an interaction with somebody, and you just feel drained or like not happy, I think those are all red flags that you're probably not hanging around the healthiest people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's a real process for a lot of people. I think for people who've been friends with people for a long time. And, you know, if it's not really that somebody starts showing up different, it's because you're allowing it to happen to a certain point. And then you just, I think you get to a point, and it's like Dave Ramsey always says, the financial guru, he says, you got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we have to realize that we're not attracting these people into our lives. It's that we're accepting.
Thank you. Say it again.
We are not attracting these people into our lives. We are accepting of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a really slippery slope for a lot of people. I think some people think, well, I must have done something to deserve this. I must have done something along the lines to help make this happen. Otherwise, it wouldn't have happened. And I think that goes to the relationship with ourselves, because we're taking on somebody else's baggage, really, for lack of a better way to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree. So
it's important to understand that there's a difference between that mentality and then one that we simply, you know, get what we allow. It's really up to us to decide what we're available for and what we're not.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And once we start putting up with it, then the person will push a little bit more.
Yeah.
And then if they can get away with that, then they push a little bit more.
Absolutely. So I'm thinking about the people listening who are maybe like what we're talking about is really like a reality check for them. You know, maybe a light bulb is coming on, or maybe they're finally ready to do something about it. And I'm wondering, what is your best piece of advice that you can offer somebody who's ready to start today? Now, understand it's going to look different for everybody, but you know, we all have our moments where we get up and we're just ready. What do you say to that person?
I think, yes, we will know when that time comes. I mean, they say that people are in our lives for a lifetime, a season, or a reason. And sometimes we just outgrow relationships and we just go in separate directions. And that's okay. That's being human.
So for the person who's maybe in that spot, what do you say to that person? It's okay. And then what would you advise them to do?
To just really think about it and just maybe find your strategy. I mean, it's a little bit tricky, I think, if you're like working with somebody.
Totally.
If it's a family member, you can just totally regulate your interactions with them. You don't have to attend family functions if it's not going to be good for you. And there's nothing wrong with that. You're allowed to sort of take a step back and take care of yourself first and foremost.
Yeah. And I just think this is something that we just can't emphasize enough. I feel like, you know, my background is in health and fitness, but as you know, being a social worker, is that when we look at the concept of holistic health and like how we're prioritizing and taking care of ourselves, it really comes down to what we allow other people to either do to us or how we allow them to behave in our presence, right?
Exactly. I mean, we can take the best care of ourselves and nurture our souls and walks on the beach and all of that, but as soon as you enter that space and allow people into your space that are just negative and bringing you down and toxic, it's almost like everything else was null and void.
Yeah. And I just think you get to a point, like I said before, where, you know, it's almost like the blinders come off and you're like, you know what, this just isn't working for me anymore. And that is completely okay space to be in too. You know, just to your point, just because someone's a family member or a close, or who you thought was a close friend, or, you know, somebody you've known a long time, you can still neutralize that and walk away to whatever degree that you can.
Exactly. It's okay to limit contact with them and to not accept every invitation to an argument. You know, there's people that are just argumentative and it's okay to say no, thank you, up to here and no more.
Yeah, I love that. Don't accept an invitation to an argument, because honestly, I feel like that's what some people are kind of baiting you to do, because then it proves them right, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. They push you enough that you finally react, and then you're the abusive one. You're the toxic one.
You're the one with the problem, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
It happens so much today because, you know, there's just so many people that just don't want to look in the mirror and take responsibility for their part. And really the way forward to changing your life is taking radical responsibility for your role in it.
Exactly. We need to come to that realization, take responsibility, and do our part. Absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. So you've written a book. Tell us about that.
I have. It's a memoir. It's called Rising from Ashes, A Testament of Strength and Survival After Narcissistic Abuse. And it recounts my 4-year relationship with a malignant narcissist, emotional, mental, almost physical abuse. I had a son with him and I had to escape. And I say escape because with narcissists, there really is no breaking up.
Yeah.
So at 2 a.m. one night, I took my 3-year-old son. I had a friend pick me up, meet me in the driveway without the headlights on. And then I just ran for my life.
Oh, wow.
It was extremely, extremely scary. I give a lot of my experiences. I give a lot of information and resources. And I feel like after reading my book, people will feel like they have their PhD in narcissism and narcissistic abuse.
Uh-huh. But what a powerful story to be able to share with other people who are maybe going through the same thing. And what I'm really hearing in your voice and sensing is that really this is what you see your mission in the world being, is to, first of all, let other people in the situation know that they're not alone. And number two, that there is, like, you can have another life, you know, if you choose that that's what's best for you.
Absolutely. This book has become my sole mission, to know that you are not stuck in it. You can always change the blueprint of your life, and you can not only get out, but you can find a way to heal and thrive and just truly live your authentic life.
Yeah, I love that. What a great message. So where can people connect with you, Faith?
My email is faithcecho@gmail.com, and my book is now out on Amazon.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you for taking time to talk to me today. I think this is such it's a topic that I think really stirs a lot of emotion in people, but I think it's one that we have to, like, talk about openly and honestly, and, like, kind of take the rose colored glasses off and say, no, this is a very real something that you don't have to put up with, you know, that you don't have to have in your life just because, well, that's just the way somebody is. Well, what if they weren't? You know, what if it weren't in your life? What would you think if there were no problem, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Love it. Again, thanks for making time to talk with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for giving the platform to share my story.
Of course. And folks out there listening, if what we talked about today is really striking a nerve with you or resonating with you, or you're feeling like this is hitting right on time for you, please feel free to connect with Faith. You can find her email, faithcecho@gmail.com. You can find that email in the show notes. You can also go buy her book on Amazon. That's probably a really good place to start, just not only to read her story, but to, you know, find out the helpful resources and the information that you can use to help you on your own self-care journey with respect to the relationship with yourself. Because really, who, you know what they say, the people we surround ourselves with, it's almost like, you know, we're making an investment and a deposit into our future self. And, you know, we take on the energy of the people we spend the most time with. So I think it's never, ever too late to evaluate that in your life. Really, no matter where you are, what you're going through, or what you consider to be, you know, your situation, however individual that is, it's just the best way to prioritize yourself is to evaluate the relationship with yourself. And it always starts with the boundaries of the people that you choose to have in your life on a regular basis. It really does make a difference at the end of the day. If this episode has been helpful for you or inspirational for you in any way, please connect with me. If you like, you can copy the link to this episode and send it to a friend that you think might need to hear it, or a business colleague. Or if you like, you can connect with me on my site, www.theallisonk.com, and we will take care of it for you. This is why our show is consistently ranked high in all of the search engines. It's because we have so many loyal listeners like you, people around the world that are listening and following us.
And this is exactly why I do this show every week and why I want to give people airtime to tell their stories, because this is what it takes for us to create a movement and to create real change in the world. So please know how incredibly grateful I am for each and every one of you. As we start a brand new year, this will be the fifth year that we've been on the air, and just know that I could not do this without you, that you guys are the reason why I do this every single week. This is Allison Katzkowski with The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. You are one step closer to living your ultimate life, so make it a good one.